If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Jonah, chapter number 3. The book of Jonah, chapter number 3. Stand with us. Chapter. Scripture said, came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into that city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. In verse number 9, on just a few little words there, who can tell? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the good singing that we've heard. Lord, we stand now in need of your touch tonight, or this morning to preach. I pray, Father, you'd help us, Father, to stand before this people. Lord, as you help me to speak by the power of your Spirit, God, I pray, Father, you'd help this people to hear, make application to their hearts. I pray, Father, that the Word of God would find that lodging spot that it might grow. Now, Lord, we realize we cannot stand on our own. We realize, God, it is you that's called us to preach. It's you that's laid these verses on our heart. It is your Word, Father. And God, there will be nothing accomplished if you do not do it. So, Father, we bow to you. We submit and surrender to your authority. And God, we plead and ask for your help in this hour. For it's in Jesus' precious, holy name that we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Are we familiar with the book of Jonah? A lot of people say it's a book about a great fish. But I want to submit to you this, Father. Some people say, well, it's a book about a great creature. But I want to submit to you this morning and say it's a book about a great Creator. In fact, some people say that the book of Jonah is a book that's extremely about the judgment of God. But I want to say to you, I believe it's about the mercy and about the love of God. I realize that Jonah came in and he preached 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And a lot of people would say, that's judgment. But the way I see it, it's 40 days of mercy. And the Bible says in the book of Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, this book, it begins with, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. I want to say to you this morning, if the word of God comes to you or comes to me, that's love, that's a privilege, that's a blessing. To hear the Scripture, to hear the reading of the Word of God, to hear the voice of Almighty God. That is love. And in fact, this book ends in chapter 4, verse number 11, where God spared 120 persons that could not discern between their left hand and their right hand. You might say that the Word of God here in Jonah, it even concludes with love. When I sit down and look at this, that Jonah came into Nineveh, it was a city that was 3 days' journey wide. Pretty big, probably even bigger than Los Angeles is today. You may say, I can't believe that, but it's true. And as he comes 1 day's journey into that city, and he's in the middle of the street, he looks without a tear in his eye and without any love for those people, and he stands up and he says, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
And somehow the word that he preached on the street got into the ear of the king. He wasn't in the palace when he was preaching. He was preaching on the street corner, but somehow that word went a little further and got into the palace where the king is. Can I just call time out long enough this morning to say to you, hallelujah, that the word of God's going farther than you think it is? Some of you teachers back there in the Sunday school rooms, and the youngins is a little wild and a little reckless, it seems, and you think you're not getting it through to them and you're not getting anything accomplished. Let me assure you this morning, the Word of God's going farther than you think it is. Many times I stand on this pulpit and preach and preach and preach and sweat and labor. A lot of times I go home and think, well, I don't know what I accomplished today. I don't know if anything was done. And then somebody may call you and give you a word of encouragement. Or then you get a letter from Madagascar or you hear from somebody in Belgium that downloaded off the internet or someone in Burma who said, that was a real encouragement to me. I want to tell you what, y'all, this morning, the Word of God's going a whole lot further out of Bethel than we think it is. I remember there at Hooper's Creek as a little boy sitting in my Sunday school class. I remember Miss Laura Bedenfield. She was faithful to teach us the Word of God. I remember she probably thought we was wild and probably thought we didn't care a whole lot. And that woman didn't say a whole lot in the sanctuary. She didn't have a whole lot of friends all over the building. And I want to tell you what, she loved us. She was faithful to come to Sunday school and faithful to teach us the Word of God. And I want to tell you what, she's got an honorable place in glory because she was willing to teach us. Let me say to Miss Laura this morning, if you're looking on from the banisters of glory, Miss Laura, I want you to know this morning the Word of God went further than you thought it would. Now it stands in the pulpit at Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine, and it's reaching into Madagascar and into Belgium just in the last week. It's gone further than we think. Let me say to you, oh, I'm not even preaching yet. This don't count. And I want you to know when you get over there to the WANA program, and you get over there and them children are rambunctious, and they're making all kinds of messages, and you feel like they ain't paying attention, and you want to discipline them and knock them down and crack them and whip them and beat them, and you're so frustrated and upset. Let me tell you something, y'all. Them little youngins may be the next preacher out of the Bethel Baptist Church or one of these churches in this community. Might be the next song leader. Might be the next mother. Daddy's going to raise a family in the house of God. I can assure you, you teach them the Word of God. It's going further than you think it is. Jonah preached on the street, and somehow it got in the palace. The Word of God's going further. Well, the king got the message. The Bible says that he sat down in sackcloth and in ashes. Can't but help think if he didn't call his counselors and says, well, boys, what are we going to do now? 40 days, and this city's going to be overthrown. What are we going to do? We're in trouble right now. And some of them said, oh, king, you don't know who we're dealing with here. This God is a powerful God. This God that you're dealing with here is a God of judgment. Well, we heard how he took the Red Sea and parted the waters maybe 2 or 3 miles wide so 2 million Jews could pass over. Hey, king, I heard that this God, he caused the walls of Jericho to fall down flat in the ground and the people overran the city and God gave a great victory. I want to tell you what, that this God is the one that defeated those kings, Sihon and Og, the ones that we were all so afraid of. This God is a great God. He's a terrible God. He's a powerful God. Boy, I don't know what we're going to do. One of the counselors says, well, I got an idea. Why don't we just, while we're sitting down in sackcloth and ashes, why don't we just call on that God? Why don't we just turn to Him and repent of our ways? And why don't we follow that God? Oh, the king said in verse number 9, he said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? The king said, who can tell? Now I want to just compare something here in Genesis, about chapter 18. There was a time when Abraham was 99 years old. His wife Sarah was about 89, close to 90. And 3 men, angels of God, showed up and said, Sarah, you're going to have a child. Abraham, and you're going to have a child. The Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And about a year later, amen, about 9 months or so, she had a bouncing baby boy at 90 years old. I've said it many times, Ken, if Grandma, she's 87, 88, she called us and said, we're going to have a baby. I think, you going to adopt? What, are you crazy? She'd say, no, me and your grandpa's going, I'm with child. Well, my teeth would fall out. Grandpa 90, he's grown, grandpa's 90 years. Imagine them going to have a child of their own. Just don't seem possible. But I ask you this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? There ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. Well, you may say, well, you're talking about Abraham and you're talking about Sarah. You're talking about pillars of the faith. I mean, right here, you're talking about this king, he's repenting. Who can tell? Well, let me say something this morning. First of all, in this book of Jonah, and I'll try to stay right here. Who can tell what God will do with a backslidden saint? Old Jonah was called to go down to Nineveh and preach in Jonah chapter 1. Go back there with me and look. Hey, he told him, said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. In other words, God said, I want you to go this way to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I'm going that way towards Tarshish and towards Joppa. I mean, you might say that Jonah's backslid. God said, do this, and Jonah went and did right opposite of what he was told to do. In fact, if you see when he gets in sin there in verse 3, two times God's Word uses the word down. Sin will take you down, down, and in verse 5, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and the Bible says, and he lay and was fast asleep. Sin will take you down, down, down. And we might say this morning that Jonah has backslid. Can I get a witness to that? Has Jonah backslid? God said, I want you to go there, and Jonah said, I ain't going. Now what did God do? Did God say, oh, what will I do now? I guess I'll just let Jonah go his own way, and I'll have to find somebody else who's going to do it. Let's let Jonah slip by, and I'll chew on my fingernails, and I'll take some Melaner Toms, and I'll try to find me another prophet. Oh, no, y'all. God said, that's my man right over there. He thinks he's getting away from me. He thinks he's going to backslide one of my saints. Oh, no. And all the time, God said, I'm going to send a wind after him. A great storm began to blow. And if you'll look real close, up behind that ship is some fins. That's swimming. The storm got real bad. Jonah said, you boys have to toss me overboard. That storm come because of me. They gathered him up and said, on three. One, two, three. Splash. Jonah held his breath. And he starts to sink towards the bottom. He said, I'd rather die than preach to them Ninevites. Them cruel people. I hate them people. They're not like us. I can't stand them. But about that time, while he is free falling in the water, something grabbed him. Gloop. And swallowed him. And it was a great fish that God had specifically designed to grab a hold of Jonah. And he is in that belly of the whale for 3 nights and 3 days. And finally cried out, salvation is of the Lord. And that fish swam right to the shore and vomited. Blah! Out came Jonah. And I can't but help wonder if he wasn't more near the shore to Nineveh than he ever was before. He had got a special taxi cab ride from God to put him right there. Let me say something to you this morning. Do you know anybody that's backslid? Do you know somebody come to your mind, didn't they? You know somebody that's backslid. In fact, it may be you. Might be somebody in your family. You've been backslid for a while. You think you've got by. They think they've got by. Let me tell you something this morning. What will God do? Who can tell what God will do with a backslidden saint? I tell you what He's going to do. He's going to get them and break them and bring them back to Himself. Oh, I'll never forget that old feller. Old time preacher man whose son went rebellious, a saved young man. He went rebellious, went AWOL on God. We'd prayed for years and prayed for years and prayed for years. But all of a sudden, one Sunday morning, in Sunday school, the service broke out. And he didn't get to Sunday school class. People was testifying and praising God. Got into worship service. It kept going at 11 o'clock, 11:30. I want to tell you what, by 12, it kept going. 12:30, Lord have mercy. It kept going. The preacher still hadn't got to preach. 1 o'clock, 1:30, at 2 o'clock. They're still shouting out at the church house. Unto God, if we had a service like that, we'd fall out of here. I mean, it'd burn the roast and the bread would be in bad shape, amen, but we'd be blessed. When all of a sudden the back door swung wide open, it was that old feller's boy. He walked in there and said, "Daddy, I don't know where you've been. I've been waiting on you to get home from church. God began to move and begin to work in my life. And Daddy, I've backed it on God. I want to get right with God." He fell on the altar there. And man, a whole number of them jumped on top of him. They began to pray. He stood up and said, "I want to confess to the church. I've hurt y'all. Would you forgive me?" And they had revival. You see what happened? God was reclaiming the backslid. Somebody was praying faithfully, and God said, "I'll go get them. I'll go get them." Oh, I'll never forget y'all. We'd been praying there at the church for a long time about somebody that was backslid as all could be. And I want to tell you what, y'all, right in the middle of the service, right at the conclusion, they walked right in the middle of the sanctuary. Shucked us all to death. Walked right down the altar. You could hear them weeping with every step they took. And they fell on the altar there. You see, there's people back that's praying. Some other folks saw that boy that come home and they recognized him. They went over and prayed with him. He stood up and was weeping and crying. He's leading singing today at the church he attends. Somebody else was sitting in that service and said, "Well, if God would do that for them, He'll do it for me." And they began to pray and said, "God, I'll pay any price. I'll do anything to see my loved one back in the house of God." That old boy had a heart attack. And in the hospital he was. And in walked that boy that was so backslid. And he walked up to his daddy and said, "Daddy, you're suffering because of me. This has come to you because of me." And he found his daddy's bedside and called on God. And God forgave him. I want to tell you what, y'all. That old man got up out of his bed, sick with a heart attack, and rejoiced and grabbed his boy. And I say something to y'all this morning. You hear what I'm going to tell you? Who can tell what God's going to do with a backslidden saint of God? You hear me? You got somebody in your life that's backslid? You bring them to God. You say, "God, I know you're big enough. If you can take Jonah and bring Jonah back and use him, I know that you can do something for my family." Who can tell what God's going to do? Boy, we've seen him. I remember the time he called me back after being backslid. Oh, I'd backslid on God terrible. My daddy's praying, my mama's praying. I'd backslid on God. Boy, God came speaking to me. I was sitting there watching TV, flipping the channel, watching the Falcons, you know, the bird brains getting beat again. And I was flipping the channel on the television, and I run across one of them religious stations. Not one of them TV preachers like you're thinking. This fella's name is David Ring. He's got cerebral palsy. He don't talk plain like a lot of people. When I stopped and heard he's talking, I just stopped on and listened to what he had to say. And I'm going to tell you what, he began to preach. And boy, he's preaching this old knucklehead right here. And he said, "I got cerebral palsy, and I'm going to still serve God. What's your problem?" I had to give it up, y'all. Woo, glory to God. If God would reclaim a backslidden saint like Jonah, what will He do for you? You'd pray. Then they get to thinking, what else would He do? What will God, who can tell, what God will do with a believing servant? Now you think about Jonah. Now just look at him for just a second here in the Scripture. In Jonah chapter number 3, the Bible says, after he said salvation is of the Lord, the word came to Jonah the second time. He's not backslid anymore. He believes God. I mean, he's been through a lot. He believes God. Watch here. So he goes down there to preach, verse number 3. So Jonah rose and he went into Nineveh. A Nineveh leading great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown." He just went in and preached, didn't he? He just went in and preached the Word of God. And in chapter 4, after they all got right, Jonah was very displeased. He's mad at God for in verse 3 he says, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." I mean, he's went from being backslid to being reclaimed and go out and preach the gospel, and now he's pouting.
Can I say this morning? I'm not real impressed with his spiritual condition. Are you? Preaching and pouting and quitting and pouting. He's a real problematic person. Not real impressed. But one thing that did grab my attention, when he preached in chapter number 3, verse number 4, look at the next verse after he preached. So the people of Nineveh came to fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. At least when Jonah went to Nineveh and preached, he believed God. He knew God told him to go preach. He knew God gave him a message. And when he walked into the middle of that street and got on that street corner and started pointing fingers and preaching to them, he believed God was going to do something in that city. Oh, it strikes my attention this morning. Who can tell what God will do with somebody that would believe Him? I mean, when Jonah got up and preached, just when he believed God just a little bit, God saved a whole city. Y'all ever heard of that before? I mean, we had 23 saved here one night. There's none night 25 got saved. And there's sometimes one got saved, or three or seven. Boy, it's been good. But we ain't never had a service in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, where I heard that the mayor and everybody else in the city got right with God. And just sat down and started weeping and mourning and crying. Have y'all ever heard of that? And Spruce Pine ain't nothing compared to Nineveh. I mean, that gives me a little hope. If God could use a backslid prophet and claim him back, and if he believed God just enough to preach one time and a whole city got right, what in the world could God do with me? What could he do with you if you'd just believe God? Man, it'd get your whole family in. It'd turn your workplace upside down. Well, they'd have prayer meeting and pay you for it at the workstation. Wouldn't that be something? Say, preacher, I disagree. Let me tell you. Down at the school system over there in Brevard, Turkey Creek Revivals came through. They had to shut her down, y'all, and open up their classrooms and turn them into prayer chambers. Young'uns was coming in and getting saved and witnessing and telling others, and there were literally hundreds and hundreds saved at Brevard High School years ago. Over there at Mountain Heritage, when the Cane Creek Revival came through, they had less than 10 in their little Bible club. Now they got over 100 and some. What happened? God come through and somebody believed Him, amen, and He saved a whole bunch. Oh, I'll never forget. There at the church house, that old boy come back there in the prayer room, and he said, "Don't y'all pray for my mama, she ain't saved." And they said, "What's her name?" And he called it. And the prayer room got down, started thundering out praying, and they came out of the prayer room, and the preacher was going to preach, looked at the young man and said, "Son, which one of these fine people is your mama?" He said, "She ain't here yet, preacher. But it's all right. She's going to get saved." They come down there and sit on the front row. The choir got up and boy, they sung "Power in the Blood" and "Washed in the Blood" and all this good stuff. Man, the preacher looked over at the boy and said, "Son, has your mama got here to hear that?" He turned around and looked to the congregation and said, "No, mama ain't here, but she's going to get saved." The preacher got up and he turned it over to the evangelist and the evangelist preached. Mess people got saved, altars full, down the aisleways is full, people just believing and calling on God. That old boy came to the altar himself, he got up, went back to his seat, the evangelist went down, the pastor was getting ready to dismiss, the evangelist said, "Son, is your mama one of them is in the altar?" He said, "No, she ain't got here yet, but she's going to get saved." The evangelist shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know. She ain't here, I don't have much hope for her." And the old man of God stood up behind a pulpit. He said, "Before we leave, I just feel like there's somebody else that ain't finished up doing business with God." At about that time, the back door opened. And in walked this lady. She was a-weeping and a-crying, and the whole church heard it. And everybody turned around. And that young man reached over and said, "That's Mama." She walked down that center aisle of that church. She said, "I was sitting on the couch." And she said, "I'm telling you, I'm under such conviction. I've been bothered a while, but this morning I thought I was going to die before I could get here. I've come in here to give my life to Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to save me." Right then and there, she got gloriously saved. I went to an old boy, jumped up and said, "You see what will happen if you believe God?" Amen. It can happen, Bethel Baptist Church, if we just believe God. I mean, if Jonah, that backslid prophet, when he finally got straightened out, full with all his problems and his spiritual condition not being all that strong, if he just believed God, a whole city got straightened out. What could God do? Who can tell what God will do with a backslidden saint? Who can tell what God will do with a believing servant? And last of all, when I look in these verses, who can tell what God will do with a broken sinner? The whole town, the whole city, from the greatest, who is the king, to the least of them, they all, the Bible says, they believed God. In verse number 5, they were sinners. I studied the Ninevites just for a little bit. Can I say something about the Ninevites? They're the type of people that were cruel and vicious people. In fact, if they had someone they didn't like, Brother Keith, they would take that person and dig a hole. Not the long ways for them, Brother Chris, but they stuck them straight down in the hole and they buried them up to their neck. And then, Brother Jeff, they'd reach in and get their tongue and pull it out and drive a spike through it into the ground and stake out their tongue. And there they were until they died. They were so cruel that they'd take your nose and split it down the middle and then fillet it on the sides and watch you stand there and suffer and bleed to death until you asphyxiated. They were a cruel and a wicked people. No wonder Jonah said, I ain't going to go preach to them. Because he didn't like them. He hated them. Maybe they'd killed some of his family. Maybe they'd killed some of his people. But I'll tell you what, Jonah knew God. He knew if he went down there to that city and told them if they'd get right, God wouldn't have to destroy the whole city. He knew that if they said, I want to get saved, as wicked as they were, that God in His mercy would forgive them and would save them. Jonah knew that. Yet he had to run away, but God brought him back anyway. And he began to preach. Guess what happened? Ain't it amazing that Nineveh's no different than you and I? We are all wicked sinners, dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And we found out, hallelujah, sitting on a church pew or listening to Grandma read the Bible or wherever it was, we found out that God in His love sent His Son to die to pay for our sins. He found out that we found out that we were wicked, that we were sinners corrupt, and we found out that one loved us and died on the cross for us. Blessed be the day that my heart got tore up and I found out I was lost and I ran to Jesus and called on Him to be saved. Who can tell what God will do with a broken sinner? I tell you what He'll do. He'll save them to the uttermost if they'd but fall before Him. I cannot but help tell if I walk in this service this morning. I mean, I can tell you person after person that I've seen God change their lives and what He can do. But this morning, the Lord told me to come in here and tell this congregation, you've got a family member, or maybe even you yourself, that's backslid on God. Oh, how you'd love to see your daughter, your son, or your granddaughter or grandson, or your mom and your dad back in the house of God, faithfully like they used to be, but they're not here anymore for whatever reason. Oh, and it burdens your heart. The devil's told you it's gone too far. It's been too long. Things have sunk too low. It's impossible now. Don't even worry about it anymore. You've asked Him before. You've prayed before. But I wonder what the king of Nineveh would say. Who can tell? If you'll just keep praying and cast yourself at the mercy of God, what He'll do in your family. They may not even be here today. But I want to say hallelujah. And He's big enough to go out yonder and get hold of them and convict their heart and bring them back to a place that they get back in with God and be back in fellowship and stand and say, and I found out salvation's of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God, I just want to tell you this morning, there's someone in this building who can tell what God will do with a believing servant. Some of you, the devil's got convinced it ain't going to happen. The Lord don't care about you. You're so small. You're just one person. You'll never make a difference. But I'm telling you what, there's somebody here this morning. You need to hit this old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, we need some changes in our family. We need some changes in our life. We need the blessings of God. And I'm leaving this morning. I'm going to hit that old-fashioned altar. Nineveh ran down there and said, we're going to sit in sackcloth and ashes and we're going to see what God's going to do. I remember there they said, who can tell what God's going to do? Who can tell what He's going to do with a broken sinner? Somebody be willing to say, oh God, I've sinned wickedly, I've sinned corruptly, and I ask you, God, would you save my soul, forgive me my sin? I tell you what, we can know this morning. Who can tell? The Word of God will tell you. He'll make a change in your life if you'll surrender to Him and be obedient to His voice this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Glory to God. We appreciate what God's doing around about this place this morning. And if a whole town of Nineveh got right with God, boy, what needs to happen at this morning? What could happen here if we'd just believe Him? Hey, man, y'all call on the Lord wherever you are. Do you need to come? And folks is around here praying. Boy, it'd be a good opportunity for you to hit an old-fashioned altar. Say, I just believe God. I believe He can make a change. I believe He can help my family. I believe He can restore me back into fellowship. I believe He can help my Sunday school class. I believe He can help our church to have revival. I just want to believe God. Would you come this morning? We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Lord, as we look in the Word of God, we saw the King of all Nineveh. He dropped His robe, the Bible says, and He sat down in sackcloth, which is grave clothes, death clothes, and He sat in ashes. And He did that because of His own sin. And He said, who can tell if God will turn away from His fierce anger? Lord, it kind of reminds me of our Savior Jesus, who dropped His royal robe in glory and clothed Himself in flesh. Death clothes, we might say, not for His sin, but for my sin. And He humbled Himself upon the cross. And He humbled Himself to the mercy of Almighty God. And on the third day, He raised up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Lord, this morning, Father, I pray, God, we'd bow in sackcloth and ashes before You this morning to say, God, we agree with You, Lord. We've got family members and loved ones, God, that's backslid on You. God, it just makes our heart hurt, God, to know what our son is into and to know what their daughter is into, God. It makes them heartsick not to look around and see them in the house of God. God, You've been so good to us, Lord. I pray, God, You'd reclaim them, God, for the love of God, for the blessings of Your name, God. Would You go out and touch them and convict them there where they are? Lord, they may be playing golf today. God, they may be out watching television or down at some flea market. God, I pray You'd dig their heart. You'd convict them by Your precious love and bring them back to the house of God for Jesus' sake. God, these people around here need a change in their home, need a change in their life, God. And this morning, God, they come to say, Lord, I believe You. God, You make a difference in my life. Lord, I'm not spiritually perfect. Lord, I've got a lot of pouting and a lot of problems going on. But God, this morning, Father, if You could use Jonah's life and he believes You to turn a city upside down, God, what can You do in my family? What can You do in my family if I believe You? And this morning, God, we believe You, God. And Father, I pray, God, You'd save that broken sinner this morning before it's everlasting too late. God, we thank You for what You're doing this morning. And I pray, God, You'd work a miracle around here. Now, God, I realize the Word is going to go further than we think. It's going to go further than we know. I pray, God, You'd bless it and it please You with what it accomplishes. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.